Okay, we're going to be starting. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Before I start the Anabakoa, I'm getting some feedback from the conference call, so I'm changing the... So in order to hear us on the conference call, or in order to ask a question on the conference call, you'll need to press star 6. And feel free to do that at any time. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedulat Yemincha Tati Tzera Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No, Kufra Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Hutha Kevavat Shamren Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Taharem Rakame Sidkatha Tamid Gamlein Betetresh Saditav Gimel Hasin Kadosh Birotuha Nael Adata Hetkut Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zogre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Hezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziaka Tenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yuta. And the letters of the month of Tammuz, the Taf, that created the moon, Levana, comes from the Shoresh, meaning white. And the Chet, composed of the Vav and the Zion. And the Chet created the constellation of Sartan, the crab. The nature of the crab is when it's frightened, it just drops, goes, hides back in its shell. The nature of the cancer. But the potential for that, if we can maintain the connection between the upper worlds and those two letters of Taf and Chet, we have a gematria of 410. And 410 is the gematria of the word Kadosh, holiness. And that's the potential during this month. And we say the last verse in a whisper. So today I'm reading from the Zohar, from section one of the Parsha of Chukat. Chukat is a difficult section to understand in the Torah, because a chuk is a law, a regulation, a mitzvah that we don't have any ability to understand logically. We can't understand it intuitively, but most of us are separated from that intuition. As King Solomon said, when asked about the hook, when asked about the red heifer and the chukat of the Torah, his response was, "It was far from me." This is the wisest person. He wasn't saying I didn't understand it. He was saying I was far from it. Something for you to consider. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeihu. Section 1 is titled, This is the Ordinance of the Torah. Verse 1. Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe V'el Acharon Lemor Zot Hukat HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor V'gomer Rabbi Yosef Patach V'zot HaTorah Asher San Moshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Fachatzi Milim Dioraita Kadishim Inun Ila'in Inun Mesikim Inun Kemadikim Hanechem Adim Mizahav Umipaz Rav Umzukim Mitbash Vigomer Mandi Ishtagal Vioraita Keilu Ka'em Kol Yoma Altua V'sinai V'kabil Oraita Ahidiki Hayom Hazeh Niyeta Le'am V'ha'ukmuha Havraya. And Hashem spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the Torah, which Hashem has commanded. Rabbi Yossi opened the discussion, saying, And this is the Torah which Moses set before the children of Israel. Come and behold, the words of the Torah are holy, lofty, and sweet. As it is written, more to be desired are they than gold, and much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. It is as if whoever studies the Torah stands every day at Mount Sinai and receives the Torah. This is what it says. This day you are become a people. And the friends have already set the explanation. This verse in the Torah that starts out, the first verse in Chukat, has a few questions that gets asked, and that's what this verse in the Zohar is starting to do. As it says, God spoke to Moshe and to Aaron. Now, he doesn't always speak to Aaron. Sometimes it's Moshe, and Moshe is told to tell Aaron. Sometimes Moshe isn't told anything with respect to Aaron. And here's an unusual place where God is saying to both of them, this is the chukat, this is the hook of the Torah. Now, why is it saying it's the Torah? These are the questions that are being asked, and in this section, it will imply and start to answer. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we start the class or start the subject of the class? I forgot to double check on one. I'll be right there as soon as my page opens up. Today's class is in anticipation of the 17th day of Tammuz. Today is the 4th of Tammuz. The 17th day is in 2 weeks on a Saturday, 2 weeks from yesterday. Those 2 weeks are generally positive weeks. There's some negativity, but the real negativity in Tammuz happens starting on the 17th. And as we said in our Rosh Chodesh class, there are some techniques that we need to understand in our prayers and in our meditations that will help protect us during this period. Now, the first thing we need to understand about this period is the 17th day was the day that Moses was to return to the nation from Mount Sinai. He had gone back up Mount Sinai for 40 days to receive the Torah. The people had heard the Esther Dibrot, and Moses went up and received, and he had received certain Luchot, certain scrolls. Not scrolls, but tablets. So these tablets, when Moses came down and saw the people in their revelry and in their building of the golden calf, and they're looking for a replacement for him, which was what the golden calf was supposed to be. This caused Moses to either drop the tablets or throw the tablets. But ultimately, it was a good thing to do because it kept the people, the nation, from committing adultery, because the nation had married God at Mount Sinai, giving of the Esther Dibrot. So by breaking the tablets, by throwing them or dropping them, the result was there was no ketubah, there was no marriage contract until later. Now, God doesn't change his contracts, of course. So the Jewish people are still considered married to Hashem. And with the giving of the second set of luchot, which was on Yom Kippur of the next year, 4 months later, 3 months later, I'm sorry, the Jewish people were married to Hashem and have been so ever since. Now, during this three-week period, we start on the 17th of Tammuz with a fast that the sages have ordained, a fast that starts at sunrise and ends at sundown. One of our sages, the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, has given us a technique to make our fast easier. Excuse me one second. I'm playing with some of the technology here. Okay, I'm sorry for the delay. So on our website, we have the meditation for an easy fast that was given to us by the Rabbi Isaac Luria. I've given it to you in English. I've given you the Hebrew words in English writing. You can find this easily on the website by when you open up the website to yeshem.com. On the right side, below the two pictures, there are a few links. This almost the last link before the before the Kabbalah sources, which is the links to other Kabbalah websites, there's a link called Unique Astrological Times. And if you click on that, it won't open up directly to it, but it will open up to a page that if you scroll down, you'll see where it says, Meditation for an Easy Fast. And that link is on the 9th of Av. But it applies to every fast day. So please make it your business to remember this, because it applies to Yom Kippur. It applies to the 10th of Tevet. To the four fast days or five fast days that the Hebrew calendar has, that the sages have declared. And we're going to go through this procedure fairly quickly because it's straightforward. The last action that you do before your fast begins is to drink a glass of water in a particular ritual. Now, if you're not eating a meal at the time, if you're not having said the blessing on bread and planning to say the blessing after the meal, then you need to say a blessing for the water that you're drinking. And that blessing we will go over at another time in this prayer class. But I'm just going to say it for knowledge in case you're not aware of it. And that would be Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam She'akol Nihiya V'Bidvaro. And that verse is essentially translated as, bless you, God, King of the universe, who has made all of the other, made all of the things that we need, essentially. It's not a clean translation, and when I prepare the class, it will be more direct. But what we are going to do is sit and take 9 sips of water. We're going to say a connection to a sphira in before we take the sip. And we're then going to turn the class counterclockwise, a half a turn. And then we take the next sip. Or we say the phrase, and then take the sip, and then turn the glass counterclockwise a half turn. And the 9 sips are set as follows. Chesed of chesed, or in English you can say right of right. Take a sip. Turn the glass a half turn counterclockwise. Then say Gevura of Chesed, or in English, left of right. And turn the glass a half circle counterclockwise. And you go through these 9 steps. Tiferet of Chesed, Chesed of Gevura, Gevura of Gevura, Tiferet of Gevura, Chesed of Gevura, Chesed of Tiferet, Gevura of Tiferet, or Tiferet of Tiferet. You hear me, Joe?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. So as I was saying, we take these 9 sips of water, and then we'll proceed to say the blessing after our meal, or this blessing after the drinking of the water, whichever it is we are doing. And then we're in our fast from that point on, don't eat anything else, until the breaking of the fast, which in the case of the 17th of Tammuz is at sundown. Now, this year, the 17th of Tammuz comes on Shabbat, and we don't fast on Shabbat. That would be inappropriate for the honor of Shabbat. So we defer the fast to Sunday, the 18th. So plan to do your fast on the 18th rather than the 17th, which is literally 2 weeks from today. July 7th, I believe. I'm not looking at my calendar, so please forgive me. Does anybody have any questions or comments about this aspect of the 17th of Tammuz? This technique can be used anytime you want to fast, whether you're fasting for religious purposes or you're fasting for your own health. This is a way, it's a technique that works and makes your fasting process more tolerable. It makes it for an easy fast. And I've had never had anybody who said it didn't work. And I've had many people come back to me and with amazement. The Yom Kippur or the Tisha B'Av that they've tried to use this on, and they've come back in amazement that it works because they didn't expect it to work. So it works whether you think it will work or it doesn't. It's an amazing tool, and I hope you will use it every time you fast. Now, getting back to the unique astrological timesheet, that page, if you go one link up from where the easy fast meditation link is, you'll see something that says the 3 weeks meditation. And I'm going to ask you to open that link up. And I'm going to read you different sections from this page. Who is the Ari, who is the one who gives us this meditation?
Hi, Sakruya.
Go ahead.
Hi, Sakruya.
So we are looking at understanding who is Isaac Luria. Isaac Luria is a unique sage. He was born in the early 1500s. He lived only 38 years, maybe 37 years. He came to this world to teach one person, his main student, Rabbi Chaim Vital. Rabbi Chaim Vital essentially, the Ari was told when he was living in Egypt, meditating and studying and answering questions about Kabbalah for himself. Not for himself, but just because that's what studying Torah implies. And he was told in a meditation to go to Sfat because his one student was in Sfat. And he knew that he was going to go there. And he was... he was going to teach the Rabbi Chaim Vital. He arrived there and he opened up a store, and he proceeded to wait 6 months because Rabbi Chaim Vital was knowledgeable in Kabbalah already and didn't think he needed to learn more. His ego was very large. So Rabbi Isaac Luria waited, and there came a time when there were just the two of them in the store. And Rabbi Isaac Luria asked his student, who wasn't then his student, to explain a passage in the Zohar. And Rabbi Chaim went ahead and did so. And it was a valid explanation on a level of the Zohar, but not its deepest levels. And then the Ari proceeded to teach all of the nuances of the passage. And as he spoke, he would mention the name of he would teach the name of an angel, And that angel would arrive, and Rabbi Chaim Vital was able to see the angel. And he would go on and speak some more to this issue. And on, and every time he mentioned the name, that entity arrived. Rabbi Isaac Luria is a unique sage. He came into this world as what is called a new soul. He came into this world for the sole purpose of bringing this information to Rabbi Chaim Vital, who would then write his teachings down, and that is how we have his teachings today. And one of the teachings is Rabbi Isaac Luria has given us a meditation for the 3-week period. The 3-week period is a negative period. In Kabbalah, what that means, it's not evil. It's just so powerful. The light is there, ready to share. But there's no filter. There's no shchinah. There's no process. And many of us do not have the vessel to handle that much light. And so Rabbi Isaac Luria has taught us this meditation. In a way that veils the light through this meditation. And I'll explain that as we go along. It makes the light at a lower level of intensity so that we can handle it during this period. And it is recommended that you meditate on this sequences at least once a day, but better if you do it 3 times a day during this period, morning, afternoon, and evening. If you normally pray and say the Amidah, within the Amidah, there are 5 places where this meditation takes place. And I'll explain to you where they are as we go along. But if you don't normally say the Amidah, just connecting to this sequence of meditation on this page is sufficient to veil the energy, to veil the light, and bring it to a level where your vessel can handle it. The meditations consist of 5 components. The first 3 meditations conceal the name of God. They conceal the Tetragrammaton by using another name of God as our meditation when we say that particular blessing. The other 2 components are more direct kavanot, intentions, that cause us to veil our desire for oneself alone and transform it into a desire to receive in order to share. The first meditation is done in the Amidah at the first blessing called Magen Avraham. When you see the Tetragrammaton Yudke Vadke, one transforms it, veils that name by visualizing each letter as 1 letter to the right. So it becomes Tet Dalet He Dalet. The Yud becomes a Tet, 1 letter to the right. If you visualize an alphabet number line, 1 letter to the right, the Yud becomes a Tet, the He becomes a Dalet, the Vav becomes a He, and the He becomes a Dalet. we're going to go down to the five meditations. Actually, I'm going to explain the meditations, and then we're going to go through them together. The second meditation is done in the Amidah at the second blessing, which is Nechaye HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead. When one sees the Tetragrammaton at that point, one transforms it, veils it, by visualizing the letter to the left. So it becomes Kaf Vav Zayin Vav. The Yud becomes a Kaf, one letter to the left. The He becomes a Vav, one letter to the left. The Vav becomes a Zayin, one letter to the left. And the last He, another Vav. The third meditation is done in the Amidah at the third blessing, Ael HaKadosh. In this case, we use the Atbash substitution. In the Atbash substitution, we're seeing this in the sense of the center. The Atbash says the first letter of the alphabet is substituted for the last letter. The second letter is substituted for the second to the last letter. The third letter is substituted for the third to the last letter. So the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei becomes Mem-Tzadi-Pei-Tzadi. The Yud becomes a Mem. The Yud is the tenth letter. The tenth letter from the end is the twelfth letter, which is the Mem. The He is the fifth letter. The fifth letter from the end is the Tzadi. The Vav is the sixth letter. The sixth letter from the end is the Pei. And the same is true of the final He, which is the final Tzadi. So we see in these three meditations, we are connecting to the three columns. The right column by the first blessing when we go to the right. The left column when we go to the left. And the center column by using the Atbash substitution. Now there is a fourth meditation in the Amidah that begins with the word Retzei. Retzei is the first of the last three blessings in the Amidah. The Amidah consists of 19 blessings. Some people say 18, but they added a 19th. There's three blessings at the beginning that's always the same. There's three blessings at the end that's always the same. And then there's either 13 blessings for the daily Amidah or a single blessing for the Shabbat Amidot or the holiday Amidot. And there are different blessings depending on which holiday, and there are different blessings depending on which time of Shabbat. But essentially, the Amidah either has seven blessings or has 19 blessings. The first of the last three blessings is Retzei, which means desire. It has the same letters as the word Sarah. Retzei is spelled Resh Tzadi He. Sarah is spelled Tzadi Resh He. Sarah means trouble, distress, chaos. When one considers that a desire during this three-week period usually will manifest as trouble or a distressing situation, one can transform one's troubles into an opportunity by rearranging the Hebrew letters from Tzara, trouble, into Retzei, desire. Not just desire, but the desire to receive in order to share. There's also a Gematria Kavana for this fourth meditation. The name of God Elohim, when spelled out, has a Gematria of 295, which is the same as the word Retzeh, and also the same as the word Sarab, which has the same letters. Elohim is a name dealing with judgment. The gematria of the letter Shin, when spelled out, Shin Yud Nun, is 360. When one takes, let's say, desire to receive, and adds the name Adonai, which is 65, to the 295, then one gets 360. 360 is the spelled out Shin, and also represents balance, since the Shin is made from three Vavs, which represent the three-column system of Kabbalah. With this Gematria and Kavanot, we bring balance to our desires and change the desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share. This is the essence of balance. Also, the Gematria of the three veiled, concealed names of God. Remember those first three meditations? Those three names of God, those Tet, Dalet, He, Dalet, Kaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav, and Mem, Tzadi, Pe, Tzadi, has a Gematria of 361, which represents the Shin, when fully spelled out, plus the Kolel. So you can see in this fourth meditation, we've gotten two Shins, and we have brought balance into this process. Now the fifth meditation is one which is the last, or the second to the last blessing. And that is the blessing that starts Sim Shalom. The Gematria of Sim Shalom is 726. When one connects to one shin represents balance, 360. Two shins represents balance in the two columns of right and left, which is 720. 720 is 72, which we should recognize, times 10. And when you add the six names of God, Tet, Dalet, He, Dalet, Kaf, Vav, Zayin, Vav, Mem, Tzadi, Pei, Tzadi, Elohim, Adonai, and the Tetragrammaton, the Gematria is 726, the same as Sim Shalom. When one utilizes these meditations and Kavanot, one is connecting to two shins and bringing peace to this period of negativity represented by the three-week period. Outside of the Amidah, one utilizes the same meditation around Sim Shalom, utilizing all these names of God to bring peace and balance into this period. Now let's see what those meditations look like. The Tetragrammaton transforms to the right into Tet, Dalet, He, Dalet. Meditation 2, the Tetragrammaton transforms by going to the left into Kaf Vav Zayin Vav. Meditation 3. The Tetragrammaton transforms into Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi through the Atvash transformation. So we have covered and veiled the Tetragrammaton in the three columns, right, left, and central. The word retse, which means desire, has a different order during this period. It becomes sara, trouble, and we need to change it back into the desire, a desire that is balanced, a desire that is for the purposes of sharing. And we do this by recognizing that retse has 295. And if we take Elohim, the name of God in judgment, spelled out, Elohim spelled out is 295, and we add Adonai 65 to that, we get 360. One of the shins from the three names. The shin represents passion, but it also represents balance, which is what is needed during this period. It's a period of strong energy, which needs to be put into balance. And the final meditation, the fifth meditation, we take Sim Shalom, which brings peace through the balance of the two shins. Sim starts with a shin and Shalom starts with a shin. And we bring all of this through the one shin of the three names that we use to veil the Tetragrammaton. And we bring the other shin through the idea of Retse plus Adonai being 360. So we now have the two shins, and by adding each of the six names of the Tetragrammaton, the word Adonai, the name Adonai, the name Elohim, and the three names from the three meditations. We add one for each of these names, and we have 726, which is the words Sim Shalom. The two shins plus the six names were bringing balance into and peace into this period. This is the meditation that we need to utilize during this period. It's strongly recommended that you proceed to do this. Does anybody have a question about the meditation or the Kavanot or any other subject? You have to press star 6. Is anybody trying to ask a question? Now I'm going to ask you to go to another location on the Yeshem website. And this is a Kavanah. Go to the Yeshem.com and our normal place for starting this class, the page that's KabbalahPrayer.htm. It's www.yeshem.com/KABBALAH-P. prayer.htm. And if you, when you open that, scroll down to the bottom, and the third row from the bottom, the second column, it says Prayer Kavanah from the Ari. If you click on that, I'm teaching you today a Kavanah that you need to say, and it's recommended to say from the Ari every day, every morning, that connects you with the whole purpose of life. We are taught that we have 613 mitzvot. We are actually taught that we have 612 mitzvot that will bring us to a level of consciousness when we have completed correcting ourselves. We will be at a level of consciousness to be able to do the 613th mitzvah. And that mitzvah is there in the large letters. It's V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. These few verses are recommended to be said every day, Shabbat, holiday, every morning, they're recommended to be said. And the verses go like this. Hareini mikabel alai mitzvot, aseh shel v'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. I accept upon myself the active mitzvah of loving my neighbor as myself. Have the intention when you say this, by making this statement, I have the intention to grow my consciousness to this level with the help of Hashem. V'ahavta is twice. Well, V'ahavta is a gematria of 414, which is 2 times 207. And 207 is the Hebrew word for light, or. V'ahavta represents direct light and returning light. Direct light has to do with what we draw down from Hashem, the beneficence of Hashem. And the returning light is after we have done our binding by striking. And we return that light back to the upper worlds until it actually flows down to us and crosses that border between the spiritual and the physical worlds. That's the essence of love, not that we should love for someone else and do altruism. All of our sharing is to benefit ourselves, but not in a selfish way, in a sharing way. And this is a great lesson to learn. And then it's recommended you say this next verse. V'hareini ohev et kol echad mibnei Yisrael kenafshi umodi. I declare that I love each and every one of the souls of Israel with all of my soul and with all of my strength. This reinforces the actual mitzvah of V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. And then there is a third verse that we recommend saying. V'hareini nizanen peshili lehitpalel lifnei melech malkei hamlachim hakadosh baruch hu. My mouth is preparing to pray before the King of all kings, the Holy Blessed One. After we have said, I intend to cleanse myself, to grow to the level of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, and then we have said that I will love all the souls of Israel. Now we can start praying before the King of Kings. Prior to saying these verses, we really don't have the merit to stand in front of God and pray. Does anyone have a question or a comment? I wish you all a beautiful week. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday at this time. We will be doing more of this teaching on Thursday at 5 o'clock West Coast time. And I'm mentioning to you that on July 5th at 8 West Coast time, we will be starting a class on the prophets and Mashiach. And on Tuesday, in a few weeks, we'll be starting a class on science and Torah. That will be Tuesday at 6 p.m. West Coast time. And of course, you're all invited to our Zohar classes that are spread throughout the week, every day, sometimes twice a day. So feel free to join us whenever. I wish you all a good week, a good month, and remind you, conceal the energy. It's the only way you can achieve balance in this period. Shalom.